Hello, patrons. Come on in. We're just hanging out here, just waiting for you. Come on into our special patron plate. No, hi, hello. We're doing the Nebula Jazz post show. We just did a Nebula Jazz, which means we're all fucking exhausted because Nebula Jazz is grueling. It's fun, but it's fucking tiring.
I laid egg today.
I tried to take some of the grueling
listen,
work.
Can we
today,
just can Adam, we be real for a second? Pocket, are you okay? Are you doing okay today?
Do you need
some help?
Can I just say thank you to all the patrons because you get to hear my explanation behind tonight. My my night was, hey, I have this amazing plan, and I failed this role. I don't have any plan now. I don't know what's going on. I suddenly got my period egg thing. I don't know what's happening actually.
So. Yeah, this was like very nearly. That episode of West Marches after Fucked Up Friday where it was just all like weird gross shit from Diction and Renee. So I was like, all right, you do your thing. I'm going to try to play through that because I don't like saying no to you people because it's more fun that way. But like, good work. You did a thing today.
My
it's
goal
fine.
Was to be the girl. I'm sure Brooke knows. My goal was to be the girl that got her period suddenly and it showed like through her clothing and she freaked out about it and everyone saw it. That was my goal. And then you had to bring eggs into it. And I'm like, fine.
So what I was trying to do, because yes, that's the thing.
You were trying to alien it.
That's the thing that happens to real human beings. But that this is the trick, right? About the GM is it's not so much my job is not to just like make shit up and be like, this is how it is, but it's my job to creative direct to be like, cool, I will take the thing that you are suggesting and I will weave it into the existing narrative. So to make it a thing that we might have seen in the material we're trying to base this stuff off of, I was like, all right, how can I make this like someone misinterpreting it? And how can we be the like, you know, yes, a human would understand this, but no one around here is human. So trying to like, I don't know, because that's the thing. It's like we're all kind of equally responsible for making it a thing. And I didn't want to be like, no, that's gross and dumb. Do a different thing.
Did you understand how uncomfortable I was describing it? And then you said I had to be laying eggs on top of it.
Listen, we were all uncomfortable, all right?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I can vouch for that.
It wasn't just you. It was all of us.
Your desperation brought us all down.
Yeah, I'm feeling really fucked up.
You
right
wrote
now.
Bad. We all suffered.
Listen, there's nothing abnormal or unnatural about shooting blood out of your stuff, but there's a time and place for making it part of your role.
It's not alien. It's completely alien, Adam, even on Earth.
It's totally a normal human thing to
Wait,
have that.
So, Pocket, can we give you an opportunity to say, like, in a perfect world, how did you want everything to play out?
This is great.
It's a good question.
In a perfect world,
like with the poking and all that, like from the get go, how did you want things to actually wind up?
I would have poked this guy with my pointer finger, right? Very specifically, it would have sucked the blood inside. It would have given me a DNA analysis of him, and I would have known something about his species to where I could take advantage of him. Maybe my next role, maybe a couple roles away, but that's not what happened. Instead, I had to be a drunk green girl, wasted. So,
gotcha.
In a perfect world, you know, that didn't exist.
So in the world where you rolled amazingly, you would have wound up with the badge and the walkie-talkie like in hour one.
Hour one, I would have had the badge and walkie-talkie and been up there and been like waiting for you guys. Like, right. Get suspicious like, up here. Like,
I'll just create aspects up here before they get here. Because,
and in my world, I'm in the bathroom with some duck chick or whatever the fuck she was, and I'm laying eggs and bleeding everywhere. And it's that sounds a lot more like my world than you think. I mean,
let me give you some tips for Nebula Jazz. Always expect the worst.
I actually said that. I was like,
you have to look at the situation and go, what can I do if I only roll one 7 times? And then if you go beyond that, you can just have a blast.
No, but what then it'd be like, wait, I succeeded?
Yeah.
I didn't expect this.
Well, a big part of playing games like this where failure and success are just different paths through the episode, you do really have to be invested in the action and whatever else happens. not like a specific, like your character wants something, right? Your character is like, I'm going to punch this guy in the face and he's going to fall down the stairs and I'm going to win the fight. But you as a player have to be like, but it would also be fun if I took a swing, missed the guy, he flips me over his back and I fall down the stairs, right? Like the idea that success is somehow inherently better is hard to like move away from, but I think that
I've started doing that a lot more this season with Rex.
Yeah, the most successful moments we've had are the ones where we've been like, whatever I do when I make this roll, it's gonna be fun, and we'll just like, we'll go with
eat,
it.
Eat Raul like you always do. Eat right. him. I'm like, no. What if I don't eat him?
So here's,
dude. Here's I think that I completely misunderstood what happened with you and Raul. So
Raul took me,
but I didn't want to metagame anyway, so it
Raul
was fine.
Took me,
but like,
took me upstairs.
So no,
to like
so you
a
were
side balcony.
So you were right. You were right, Dodger, in that like Rex is still in the building and not on the spaceship. In that Rex came up to the edge of the spaceship. That's when that little scene happened, and then got dragged back into the building.
Okay, then I did understand.
So, yeah,
cool.
So you're okay. It was meant to be a little unclear externally, but I think I could see you getting it. And had you been like making a really like aggressively incorrect decision, I would have been like, yeah, there's a chance he's actually on the thing. I would have made you make a roll for it, but you were already on the right track.
Your clothes
so I was just like,
get caught on the ship, and you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, like
you're
I
just
wanted
flapping
to,
in space.
I mean, I would have given you the opportunity to choose to make
it's
the wrong
already
decision,
the void.
It's yeah, exactly. It's the void already.
Void already.
Yeah, so that's fine. You're on the right track. I like, and we've done the like team split thing before, and I'm interested to see how team crazy science goes versus the other two. This is gonna be great. You have
your guys
own
are all on
your
own.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
No.
But so that whole bit, it was fine. It was totally fine.
Yeah, because I figured like from Artemis's perspective, she never saw Rex come in, which means something happened to Rex, which means I need to get off this ship.
I don't even
Rex
know what happened
here.
To Rex, so that's the beauty.
So the
I know what happened to me, okay?
I wanna thank you, Jesse, today for coming up with names for all three of those characters, because naming things is nearly impossible. And I'm learning that scenes in which there are a bunch of different aliens, I just have to make up what species are. And that's also really fucking difficult. So thank you for taking some of that load off of my shoulders and giving us Cherry Poutine.
Yeah. Cherry Poutine is my favorite character. I'm hands down my favorite character I've ever created. I'm Cherry so Poutine. Happy that you off camera understood that I was referring to Don Cherry.
Yeah.
Legendary Canadian hockey announcer.
Exactly.
And poutine. Yeah. Legendary Canadian food. So, I'm glad that we connected on that. And I was very pleased with that name. The rest of them were gibberish. But that one, I hope we see more of her.
I think so. I think we will. I think so. She's still around somewhere. Yeah. So now you have a much fancier ship, somewhat old and beat up and full of people and money, and it's gonna be interesting. So folks are asking in chat, and I want to talk a little bit about this. So there's the game in and of itself allows for a little like a backseat GMing in the sense of like compelling each other for stuff. But as we get more comfortable with it, as we play more, we're getting more and more into these moments where like this whole episode was basically just Sam's idea, right? Where I was like, all right, you have a problem and you can figure out how to solve that problem. And the whole rest of it was pretty much just like, hey, what if we did this, right? Sam basically was like, what if this was a thing? I need these elements to be present for this to be a thing. This is something I would really like. And instead of being like, I don't know, like make a roll or you have to pay for that, or like you have to like controlling my authority over those things. More often than not, it just takes work away from me. So I'm just like, do it. Just rock and roll. Like, go for it. This can be that episode if you want
to. Yeah, well, I think also because we've played with you a lot too, we know that when we do have a prop, like, we couldn't just say we steal a ship, right? Because then your question would be like, great, how do you steal a ship?
No. I was going towards that angle. Like, is there a ship around here? And you're like, no. There's not. And I'm like, well, never mind. And then what if? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so the thing is, and the way this exchange goes is that because there is no mechanism, like I still have the authority to be like, no, Sam, just calm down. Like, I know you're excited about this, but like, chill out. But it behooves me in this game particularly, because like, we've played a bunch together and I kind of know you guys and how you play. I'm much more comfortable just being like, yeah, let's pretend that's a thing that I made up, but obviously it's your idea. I will say yes to it and let's do it. And these things are in the game and I'll play along.
But you say that takes away from work, but I feel like it requires you to do more work because you have to be on your toes. Well,
this whole game is
having played with Adam for so long, chasing the nature of his GMing is he doesn't like plan a 4-hour session.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, all right, they're gonna start here, go here, go here, go here, end here.
Well, especially like, with Nebula.
That's not how Adam does it. So I know that like I would never do that if I wasn't. If Adam was someone else, I wouldn't have even opened my mouth.
So yeah, this situation would be very different if we were playing Dungeons & Dragons, where you know that if you say to me, what if there's like a casino and there's people in the casino and like all this stuff, I can just be like, yeah, sure, because it takes me zero like prep to just make that up. But if it was D&D and you were like, no, we're not going to go to the dungeon, we're going to go to town, and what if there's a casino in this town, and then we go there and we fight monsters, then I would have to build the casino as a map and do all of that horse shit.
Right.
So, The game definitely leans itself more to the possibility of that, if not the mechanical specificity of like you pay fate points to make stuff up.
Well, right. I was like talking to someone. I was like, you know, the thing about Nebula Jazz is you have to, even as a player, constantly be on your toes, because like today where it's like, well, I pricked this guy and I'm trying to get his DNA so I know something about his race, and then I failed. Like in D&D, it could have just been like, well, you failed. Like, yeah, you touched, but you just failed. Like, you didn't do anything, whatever. But in this, it's like, no, you failed, and he noticed, and he felt a sting, and you're fucked. And you're like,
well, the failure conditions are different in a game like this versus, say, Dungeons & Dragons, where in a game like D&D or, like, Stars Without Number, or to a lesser, more granular extent, even the Star Wars game that we played, when you fail... You fail, but you could like potentially try again, or like it's not necessarily like you fail and now sharp left turn, and you succeed, sharp right turn, and you're like winding your way through the narrative, which is the way fate does it, right? It's building on this stuff. I was really excited about and impressed with the way that you were like building towards success in terms of creating advantages for each other and like buffering that space, because that's kind of the high level fate play, right? Is the like, we want to accomplish something, somebody is going to be the hitter, and we are all going to set them up to do that.
I think that's the first time in Nebula Jazz where we've had like one person that we've propped up and everyone has just like actively worked to like help them achieve their goal.
Yeah.
While we're trying to help.
It was like a really cool way to play. And also like the whole like attack and defend mechanic that wasn't combat focused as well.
Yeah.
I found that was like super fun. It was like you're attacking to overcome the situation, and they're attacking to maybe like figure out what you're up to, as opposed to a fight.
I think it's one of those things that seems harder to, I think it's harder to pick up for folks who are used to watching role-playing games, because we're playing Nebula Jazz and we're using Fate Accelerated, and they're both kind of new to most people, and Nebula Jazz is so out there compared to what a lot of people are used to. But if you watched people play, like if this group played a bog standard, like Western style fantasy adventure using Fate Accelerated, all of the same tools would still be present and it would still have that flexibility. Like this scene that we did today could be the same as like fighting a dragon, right? Where one player, like the fighter or whatever with the sword and the shield, is the one doing the hits. And the cleric is like, I call upon the power of my god and I enchant you with mighty strength. I'm going to create an advantage for you called Enchanted with Mighty Strength. And someone else could say, I conjure a swarm of bats because I'm a wizard and that's what I can do. I conjure the bats to distract them. So I'm going to put the aspect distracted by bats. And so it's exactly the same thing. It can do any kind of conflict, but they all feel the same. They feel like that pulpy, kind of punchy, like build up, knock down kind of thing. But this episode particularly, I thought it was really cool. It's a big difference going from a game like Court of Swords, where we can do a combat encounter that takes, it feels like playing chess for 3 hours straight, whereas we could do a whole episode almost that's just, how do we sneak into the casino? And it's basically combat. It's this game's version of combat. It's almost the whole episode, but it doesn't feel like it because each action is so different.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It was really fun. I had a really good time with that.
Yeah, I like it too, because even with as many aspects as there were, we still had to think to ourselves, like, okay, if I'm going to use that aspect, how am I using it with this thing that I've just described, right? Like, this is what I want to do. So how can like this thing from this other player help me? It's cool. It really does force all of us to think like storytellers. And I like that a lot.
And I think it also forces people to think just like in D&D, I felt like, and even in Balance of Power, I felt like I thought more about like, how can my character survive this? But in this one, I'm thinking like, not just how can I survive this, but how can I help someone else survive this? Or how can I help them do this? Because like even Dodger like buffed something I did to give my aspect more boost. And that's we can think about.
It stretches the creative muscles a little bit in the sense of like trying to, because when you create aspects, other people can use them if they're creative enough to angle in on them in the right way. So you might create one that you have a really specific idea about what it's supposed to be like, but another player might see the wording of that aspect, or they might think of another way to apply it that applies equally well, which is why all the wordplay and the puns and stuff in the names of the aspects is so much fun, because it leaves you open to interpretation, right? If we use a song title, you can use pretty much anything that you feel like applies to that song as a use of the aspect. And that's why the best aspects are open and kind of useful that way. So,
yeah, I've been trying to focus a lot on the wording of my aspects and less on the meaning to try and achieve like different loopholes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's not a mechanically complex game. There's only a few rules, but I definitely think there is actually like a learning curve to it. Like y'all are like better at playing it than you were when we started.
For sure.
Because there's practice at learning how to phrase things and like what creates both the most interesting but also the most useful aspects.
I remember season one, we wouldn't even compel.
We wouldn't even make aspects. Right. Like it took us a long time to realize, oh fuck, we create the aspects in the scene if we want them. Like
that was like feedback from like last season is that we didn't create enough aspects or learn enough about like the people or the scenes.
So, yeah.
I feel like the hardest thing for me at this point as someone is, this is like season two for us, is that I have a hard time sticking to the way I want my character to be when I and that's something I need to get better at, is like Jesse's really good at this. Even when he fails, he sticks to what like how his character is.
Jesse's really good at that. Yeah,
a murder sex robot thing. And and for me, I very much, it seems like I'm trying to play the mad scientist role, but sometimes like when I fail, I'm like, oh god, I don't know what to do.
I mean, I think this is a thing about, this is a thing about role playing, and a game like this does tend to have that. Like in D&D, you have a list of things that you can do, basically. Like you can do anything, but there's a list of mechanics you can pick from. And I think the more experience you have like portraying a character, the easier it becomes to look around, like look outside of that. But it can be easy. And I was seeing you do this today, and this isn't a criticism, but just an observation, Pocket. I was seeing you do this where I was like, oh, this isn't Luna solving this problem. This is Pocket solving this problem now. Right. Like
it's not
a bad thing. It's just, that's like, I think everybody does that to a degree where they have things where they're like, okay, I can figure this out, but you take a step back from the character and solve it as a player. And the more you play games, the more that stuff becomes evident to the people you play with or to yourself, because you're like, wait a second, this is how another character I played would have solved this problem, because it's not really the character. It's you trying to get past that obstacle of failing the role.
That's I'm hoping that by the end of the season, I can, even like next episode, I can like get better at sticking to the way I want my character to be and less how like I would consider. Like,
I think that the trick is, and I think Jesse does it how I do it, is like, D&D is like very much a game. Yeah. Whereas this is very much we're telling a story, right? And it's like in a story, it's okay to fail because the story just goes down a different path.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think you have that very much D&D feel where it's like, I have to win this role. And if I don't win the role, I don't know what to do because I didn't plan for it. Whereas like, you have to look at it like, if I don't win the role, what would the mad scientist do to continue the story?
You're right.
It's like that just, and it's hard to get used to it, but.
It's acting at its core. For this game, like in other role-playing games, you're trying to achieve something and your math is sort of guiding your way. And this one is more about reacting to things and understanding that in this case, you're playing a mad scientist. So what does this mad scientist want and what are her objectives? And then just playing that. And so, I mean, the entire time that I was doing this, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I definitely want to go do what everyone wants. But in the end, because I'm a murder bot, people are going to die. That's just how I work. And and it doesn't matter how I get there. That's what I want. So even if I won, I still would have killed those people.
Well, and that was
how I wanted to play.
Right. And that was why when you like lost the game, I wasn't like, oh shit, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to have a hard time? I was like, no, Jesse's just going to murder this guy because that'll be the thing that comes out. Like I wasn't worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you need to realize that create the character that you want, be that character, and then like, just go with it. Like let the weird die that we use fall where they may, and just like embrace the fact that you're going to roll a bunch of shit sometimes and like accept that. Yeah. But it, like, what you should do, and this is something that I think we learned tonight, is figure out the basics, like the in-depth basics of your character. Like how, like even down to how does she function? Because, you know, we learned tonight, okay, well now, like now she's got fucking eggs. So how does that work? And in the future, how can you use eggs to your advantage? Seriously, like there's got to be a million things about your character. Like, get nitty gritty with who your character is, and it will help you in the future. Trust me.
Another great piece of advice, and this is something I do a lot, is if Adam comes at me with something and I lose a roll, or Raul suddenly pulls a gun, and I don't know how to deal with it at that specific moment in time, I just let Adam take the story where he wants to take it. Mm-hmm. And that gives me 5 minutes to think, what would my character do now? My character's stun gunned, he's been captured. He's probably going to come back to me in 5 minutes. How is Rex going to get out of this situation, or how is he going to behave? So like, you don't have to always have an answer. And that's what Adam's there for, is Adam's driving the bus. So you can just like let Adam take it and like think about, like, all right, how would Mad Scientist get out of this in 10 minutes when the story loops back around to me?
And sometimes it's okay to play the long game. Like tonight, my job was to sit there and play fucking Tiddlywinks. And so that's what I did. And that's literally what I did for 2 hours, was like, I'm going to keep playing. Because the character arc that I have is like, I'm going to play enough until I get there and I'm going to kill people. And so you don't need to be like, I'm going to nail them with this awesome plan I have. Because sometimes just doing what you need to do so other people can like get shit done is also awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where I try to take it in the end, is like, getting stuff done to help other people when my character is like, well, my plan's falling through terribly, horribly. I'm just going to try and help other people now. And that's when I think a lot of people started. We all just were like, we're just going to help Basil do his thing. I give you my power.
I'm sorry.
I feel like that's like, if I had initially tried that route, then I would have been a lot more successful my night, even with failed roles, instead of doing what I did. And that's what I'm learning about, like, playing a more intricate character than Aurora was. Aurora was very much, like, a happy-go-lucky, like, she could be anything. And this character's not. And so it's a lot harder for me. I think, like, I stepped it up.
Go back and think about your character tonight, right? Like,
yeah.
What do you, as a mad scientist, want? And then, would you have helped any of these people? Right? Like, what are your motivations? Would you have been like, yeah, of course, like you start out like, I'm gonna prick some people and like get some samples and shit, and like that is something you definitely would do. But when that didn't work out, you're like, okay, well, I'm just gonna help. Instead, be like, okay, well, that failed, but I'm a scientist, so what else can I do to experiment on the, like, be your character, like, go, like, just be the person you're meant to be, a crazy mad scientist.
This isn't even at you. This is just like, I think this is a tip for anyone who's playing this format.
Yeah. That's why I'm talking.
There's going to be a lot of people watching that want to try Fate Accelerated and stuff. Like, just, it's not a game, it's a story.
Yeah.
And just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Cool.
Great. I love your character. I love the scientist. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Me too.
I'm trying.
Oh, that's awesome. So there you go. It's been a very informative Patreon video. I hope you like a little masterclass, a little between two ferns. Well, cool, everybody. Thank you for a great episode, and we will see you. We'll see y'all next time from Mar Nebula Jazz. Bye, team. Thanks for everything. See you later.